Yeah, or RayRTE.ie. Now, there's a strong Irish connection with the Democrats and Joe Biden's... sorry, I just turned the television off. Sorry. There you go. And you would know this already, but the Blewitts from Mayo are third cousins of Joe Biden. And we have Loretta Blewitt on the line now. How are you doing, Loretta?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good. I was just checking in on the what's going on there at the moment.
I thought you were sitting at home and watching the news there on the couch. I'll just do the show in the meantime.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that'd be a nice thing to do.
It'd probably be a good idea today now, in fairness.
It would. You stayed up all night, did you?
I did, and I feel like I'm after coming off a flight from San Francisco or somewhere. I don't know if I'm tired or I'm jet lagged or what's going on.
Yeah, but you feel okay to talk, do you?
I'm not under the influence of anything, so I'm fine.
Just remind people about your relationship with Joe Biden.
Yeah, so Joe Biden and my dad are third cousins, and obviously we... It became quite public, I suppose, in 2016 when he came over as the vice president with his family to visit us all. And we had a bit of an Irish shindig and all the rest of it. And it was lovely. So we got friendly from that out. And I kind of just kept in touch with them all the time and got to go to the White House before he left office in 2017. The day he got the Medal of Freedom. So that was lovely. And I work for the hospice in Mayo here, and I was just telling Joe about we were building a hospice, and he said he'd turn the sod for us on the Mayo Hospice. So we came over in 2017 to do that, and I've been back and forth with him. I was actually on the campaign trail there in February as well. So yeah. lots of back and forth over the last couple of years.
And he brought you up on stage in Nevada, did he? And introduced you as his Irish cousin.
Yes, and I'm hoping that today he can swing Nevada, turn it around and make it blue all because of that little meeting. Yeah, yeah, it was lovely. He brought me up on stage and introduced me to all his fans.
So how does it feel for you then, watching this man that you've met? And I presume you can email him or text him or whatever, but you have that sort of access to him. And how does it feel, just before we get to what happened last night and what's continued to happen, how does it feel to think that he could be the President of the United States of America?
It's bizarre, you know, and I was talking to my best friend Audrey today, and she was like, is it actually happening, you know, and is it? Like, it is exciting in one sense, but it's kind of a bit surreal as well, you know, to think that we're getting closer and closer to him becoming the next president of America, and what a powerful role it'll be. So it'll be great. I'm looking forward to the invitation over.
And I heard one of your colleagues from the hospice say that he promised to come back.
Yes. So he said to me just before I left in February, he said, look, Loretta, I really want to make it a priority to get back to Ireland, hopefully as the president, and dying to see the hospice and see the progress that's been made.
So have you usurped Henry VIII's position as, you know, your family, you're closer to an American president than Henry was to Barack Obama?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, we are definitely.
Of course, Kennedys would have had... Very close
they would
relations.
Have been as well. Yeah. I know Samantha Power, I heard, is coming up later on in Drive Time, but she talked, I think, at one of his online events, the Irish-American events recently, and she said, like, he's nearly one of the most Irish presidents to go for office. Well, obviously the Kennedys and stuff, but of modern time, you know, he's definitely the most Irish. And it's not a manufactured kind of Irish connection either. He's very much, it's been part and parcel of his life, the whole way growing up. Like, his mum always brought him up with very strong Irish values.
And his granny would have spoke Irish to him.
Yeah. Right. So it's
a very direct connection then, isn't it?
It is a direct connection, and he's very emotional towards it, you know, and even he made a video for us. It's on the hospice Facebook page. I think they put it up there yesterday again. But he sent us over a video last year for the opening of the hospice. And obviously his son died in 2015 from brain cancer, Bo, and so his name is going to be forever attached to the Mayo Hospice. But he just spoke about, you know, he's back now with his people, you know, he's forever ingrained in his own people.
Yes.
And it's lovely, you know, he's a thoroughly decent human being, and you can see the empathy just coming through every time he speaks.
I know, but nice guys don't always win.
No, but he's been a politician for as long as he has, and he hasn't survived at the top level of being a senator. He's nice and all, but I'm sure he's got a fierce side as well.
Yeah, I'm just reading an article there by Edwin McGreal It was in one of the Mayo newspapers. And yeah, Joe Biden's great-great-great-grandfather, Edward Blewitt, worked as a land surveyor for Ordnance Survey, literally putting places like Ballina on the map. His great-great-great-grandson is doing so metaphorically now. That's a nice line, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah, it's lovely. And, yeah. And actually, it's nice in Ballina at the minute. There's a great atmosphere around, despite the fact everyone has to socially distance and all. But we've a lovely mural put up there by the Ballina Community Cleanup. They painted a mural up on one of the buildings there a couple of weeks ago. And it's, I think it's probably the most photographed thing in Ireland at the minute.
So what was the gamut of emotions last night as you watched the results unfold?
It was strange last night. You know, I thought, oh, brilliant, he'll just win Florida now and we can go to bed early and, you know, it'll be all over. But of course, things like that don't go easy. I heard somebody put up on social media today, if he's got a connection to Mayo, he'll definitely find a way to lose, which is a bit mean.
It's a bit mean,
Isn't it? But, like, look, American politics is so show business, isn't it? It's so exciting. It captures everybody. And it was horrible this morning at 6:30, 7 o'clock. I was like, oh, please let this be over, please. For the good or bad of it. But now I'm back.
You're back.
Again, yeah.
And then President Donald Trump said, you're witnessing fraud here. We're taking it to the Supreme Court. And we haven't heard anything from him yet. On the other line, Loretta, we have the former White House Director of Communications for President Trump and entrepreneur, Anthony Scaramucci. How are you doing, Anthony?
Hey, Ray, it's great to hear your voice again. How are you?
Good talking to you. We have Joe Biden's third cousin of sorts on the other line. Loretta is her name.
Hi, Anthony.
Loretta, nice to meet you over the radio.
I'm a big fan.
I was enjoying what you were saying.
Yeah. So Anthony,
I enjoy what you were saying. And you're right about the show business aspect of our politics. So I don't know. Maybe we need a little less show business, Loretta. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Where are you today, Anthony? What city are you in?
So I'm based out here on Long Island, and I have I'm in my home studio, actually. So I've been broadcasting from here. I did some Sky News and BBC, MSNBC, and some of the local channels in the battleground states last week in support of the vice president. And so it's an interesting time. I didn't predict this outcome, of course. I got it wrong, but I still believe it's going to go for the vice president. So the good news about these presidential outcomes, they're binary. You either win them or lose them. I would have loved to have seen him win it with a broader mandate, but he's going to get he'll have the largest popular vote of any elected president in the United States in U.S. history.
If he wins.
That's set already. Just remember, the popular vote doesn't
mean he wins or loses.
Yeah, so he'll have the highest popular vote tally in U.S. history. Now, but it also tells you something about the country. President Trump will have the second highest popular vote. They both outpaced the Barack Obama vote of 2008. And so that tells you something about what's going on in the country that I hope our politicians pay closer attention to.
Yeah. So just talk to me a little bit about your story, because you worked for Donald Trump. Would you be traditionally a Democrat or a Republican supporter?
Well, listen, I'm a lifelong centrist Republican. I was with Jeb Bush before I moved over to President Trump's camp. I think, as I said to you on your show a few years ago, I made the decision to stay as a Republican, even though many of my friends were defecting from the Republican Party because of Mr. Trump's personality, some of the things he was saying in the media, and some of the ways he was inciting people. I've said repeatedly, perhaps not to you directly, Ray, but to many people, that was a mistake in judgment on my part, because the bellicosity of his rhetoric, the nastiness of what he's doing, the incitement of racism, the racist invective on Twitter, the demagoguery, I don't think it's healthy for the country. But, you know, the guy won 76 million votes. It's 68 right now, but I'm doing the math and I'm looking at these numbers and I'm overlaying the 2016 numbers. They'll have 76 million people eventually vote for him in the United States. And to me, we have to be worried about that. There's something wrong with the country. There's a systemic failure going on where there's a large group of people in our country that feel left out of the system. There's a large group of people, and you may remember this, Ray, from our earlier conversations. I grew up in a blue-collar neighborhood. Yeah. My dad was a crane operator. He was an hourly worker, but he had an aspirational living standard, and he believed that some of his kids would grow up to live the American dream. Those very same families, they have 25% real income diminution. You know, so their real wages are down 25% in terms of their purchasing power. That family's gone from aspirational living standards to desperational ones. They're angry. They're upset. They feel they have no advocacy. And they feel that Mr. Trump is at least representing them as an avatar for their anger.
Anthony, isn't that a failure on behalf of the Democrats then?
I believe it is. And I think Andrew Yang said it better than me. He said that there has to be a lot of soul searching on the case of the Democratic Party. You know, you guys were mentioning John Kennedy. I just want you to think about this. The grandparents of these people, the great-grandparents of these people, they voted for Lyndon Johnson and John Kennedy, and they voted for Franklin Roosevelt. But these people are now voting for Donald Trump, the ancestry, if you will. And so that has to make you think about things for a second, you know, in terms of where our society is right now.
Can you explain, to me just the situation, because I don't quite get it. So if you're a Republican, if you're a Democrat, that you're blind, are you blind to the person you're voting for? Is it just, I'm a Republican and I'm voting Republican and it doesn't matter if it's Donald Trump or somebody else I'm still going to vote Republican?
I don't think so today. I think today it's a personality-driven race. At the presidential level, it may be more partisan at the state and local levels and the Senate and the House of Representatives. I don't think that that's the case today. But I will say this, if you are a blue collar worker in the Rust Belt of the United States and you've been looking for work and you feel stranded and you feel left out of the system, establishment political leaders have not been there to provide you policy solutions. And so Mr. Trump exploited that in 2016. He's been emboldened by that. Let me frame it for you this way, Ray. Imagine that you won the election, the president of the United States, and then you launched invective at everybody, and then you mishandled the pandemic, then you lied about the science. Prior to that, you got yourself impeached. You wrecked the U.S. economy, and you still got 76 million votes. That should tell you something about where the U.S. is right now. And what the people of the United States, a very large portion of the people of the United States, are thinking
again, it reflects, where we are. It reflects very poorly on the Democrats and Joe Biden, unfortunately, Loretta, doesn't it, if that's the case?
Well, I don't know enough about American politics deeply into the Democrats to really work it out. You know, I talk to people who are, you know, Republican supporters out there, and they just won't change their mind on Trump, despite the fact that he is what he is, and he's a narcissist, and he treats women so poorly. They'd still vote for him because they're wealthy, and their taxes are going to be kept intact by him. And, you know, there's that inequality in America seems to be just getting, you know, large, wider and wider. Yeah. And because of that, then, like, people would, like, even I saw in the votes, like, it wasn't even that important about the pandemic. It was more important about their taxes. You know, it's funny. I can't get my head around
it
all.
Yeah, the pandemic was they put it as the third priority.
I was interested, Anthony, I saw you speak the other day about, you talked about, you know, Trump said he would leave office and he would, you know, he would cause it, you know, war before he left. But you said he'll eventually leave like a lamb, because he's going to need Joe Biden if Joe Biden becomes next president.
You know, can I address that, Ray? Yeah. I absolutely believe that, because it's in his best interest. And one thing we know about President Trump, he's operating in his best interest. When he does a news search, Larissa, it is TRUMP. He's not searching USA. He's not searching YOU. He could care less about YOU. He's searching for himself. Is he in the news? Is he getting attention? What's in his best interest? He's going to lose this election. Joe Biden will be inaugurated. There is a criminal investigation going on related to President Trump and his family. He's going to want to avoid jail time for himself and for his family members, and a result of which he's going to play nice because of that. And I would say something to you guys. I know him very well. Last night he knew and he was advised not to give that speech and declare himself the winner the way he did and talk about fraud and misspell the word polls. He was told not to do that. He did it anyway. And he's doing that to set up the political chits to have some leverageable political chits, if you will, versus Joe Biden and the Democrats, and to have the specter of unrest that could be stewarded by him if things don't go the way he wants. That's his personality, unfortunately. But that's classic demagoguery, and that's the reason why I felt it was necessary a couple of years back to start speaking out against
it. Yeah, in your number of days as the White House Director of Communications for President Trump, what was the craziest thing that happened, Anthony?
Well, you know, it's not necessarily crazy, but I will give you an example of a conversation. I was with him in the study off the Oval Office, and he brought me in to ask me about these Russian sanctions that the House and the Senate had passed. And we were going to put some crippling sanctions on Russia because of what they did to us in terms of the election meddling. He didn't want that. He felt that that was dishonoring his achievement in terms of winning the presidency. So he looked over to me and said he was going to veto it. I looked over at him. I didn't say anything. And he said, well, you know, what's your opinion of that? I said, I'm not going to tell you because you're not going to listen. And then he looked at me again. He said, no, I want to hear your opinion. I said, listen, Mr. President, I'm not going to tell you. You're not going to listen. And so I finally said to him, if you veto that, you've got Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell. They're on your team. They passed it. They're going to go to Chuck Schumer, and they're going to get an override of that veto to embarrass you. You're only 6 months into the presidency. It'll be very emasculating for you. And what struck me was it wasn't until he realized that it was going to hurt him personally that he decided that he was going to sign the legislation. And so it's not crazy, but it should worry people that the only thing he's really caring about is what's in best interest. You know, Barack Obama didn't act like that. George W. Bush, I knew him well. His decision-making was matrix through, is this in the best interest of the country? By the way, he made a lot of bad decisions, but at least he had that lens, Ray. That was the lens he was looking through.
Larita, so they're saying now, and Anthony will probably confirm this, that they won't have a result until late Thursday night or Friday morning. Are you going to get any sleep between now and then?
I don't know if I will or not, but I was going to, if I can ask Anthony a question. I'm interested in something. So if Joe Biden wins, obviously, Wisconsin, if he wins Arizona, which is very close to Michigan, he doesn't need to win Pennsylvania, and he doesn't, and obviously Georgia is not important. If he gets to the 271 votes, can he then be declared the president, or how does it work now because of what's going on with the mail-in
ballot? You have about 30 seconds, Anthony.
30 seconds. Well, once those electors are certified, he should be the president, and there should be a concession speech. If there isn't a concession speech by Mr. Trump, it will go to the courts. I think it's impossible for the courts not to rule in Joe Biden's favor. And so, yes, Joe Biden will be the next president. And by the way, talking to the sources inside the campaign, they feel he's going to win Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Well, that makes me happy. I might have to stay up tonight. After
okay. All yeah. Go and have a nap now, Larita. Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Ray,
lovely
thanks to have you.
Thanks for
Ray.
Talking to you. See you, Larita.
Great pleasure to be on with you again.
Okay. Thanks, Anthony. Mind yourself. See you. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.